The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Also streaming live on Periscope and on YouTube and on Twitch as well. So check us out on those platforms if you haven't already. You can see Joe Rex Road's beautiful face every single morning here on Periscope, Twitch, and on YouTube as well. Talking Titans, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in the legendary David Beauclair from SI.com. David, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are you today?
We are wonderful. It is great to hear your voice. Great to have you on with us. And David, I just want to start with the Titans and the moves that they've made, the moves they've not made yet in the offseason. Based on your expectations heading into the free agency period, where are you with this team? How surprised are you with some of the moves that they've made and also some of the cuts that they've made?
Yeah, I was going to say, starting with the bloodletting, if you will, it was a little more severe than I think most of us expected. Without a doubt, they were going to have to do some things. I think Kenny Vaccaro was a no-brainer. Anyone who has watched Amani Hooker play the last couple of years, particularly last fall, knows, you know, he's ready, and that's a simple case of you've got a guy on a rookie contract ready to be a starter in this league. You've got to make him a starter. That was just bad luck for Kenny Vaccaro that way. But to gas both of your starting cornerbacks and the right tackle when you seemingly had no other option because your first round draft pick last year, who was, you know, supposed to be the right tackle like that. I long held the belief from the moment they drafted Isaiah Wilson last year, I thought, okay, Dennis Kelly's 3-year contract is actually a 1-year deal. He's getting cut, you know, in 2021, and then they plug Wilson in and go from there. I thought the way the whole Isaiah Wilson situation played out meant that they were going to have to go with Dennis Kelly another year and then figure out what to do from there. But, they're going to have to figure out what to do now, I guess, with that position, with, you know, having taken away one guy who was reliable and somewhat durable last year on that offensive line. So that was a little more extreme. I think the Bud Dupree signing is one that people are going to be really excited about and kind of take some of the sting out of some of the moves you had to make. The Janoris Jenkins one is the question mark to me. As a GM, I'd be terrified of old cornerbacks at all times, particularly after last season when I signed an old cornerback in Jonathan Joseph and it didn't work out so well. So it's certainly been a busy week and a half for John Robinson and his staff, and now I'm sure things will settle down and they kind of wait for the market to drop and see what kind of guys you can plug in there on some less expensive deals now.
Yeah, I hear you on Jenkins, David, for sure. And, you know, like you said, there are more guys to sign. We know that there's a draft to come when I would, you know, assume that receiver and corner are among the positions addressed. But back to right tackle, the hard part for me here is understanding why you're signing up for Kendall Lamb to be your starter, apparently. And without seeing the structure of the deal, not much of a savings compared with Kelly. That's the one that I can't figure out. Is there something I'm missing here?
Joe, I think maybe it's the fact that, you know, Dennis Kelly, remember, didn't practice hardly at all for the last 8, 9, 10 weeks of last season, whatever it was. I mean, he was gutting it out on, you know, through some knee injuries, I believe it was, you know, and maybe they just feel like, you know, he's not going to be able to hold up for another 16-game season, and let's get somebody who's a little younger and maybe a little sturdier and go from there. And you know, or maybe it's David Quesenberry. Maybe they're looking at him and saying, you know, he did a decent job in there as our third different starting left tackle last year. You know, maybe he's better suited to play the right side, and they think he can be that guy. Those are the only two options that I see right now. You know, Aaron Brewer was a guy they really liked as an undrafted rookie, but he's an inside guy. I know he played tackle at Texas State, but I think there's a big difference between that and playing tackle in the NFL. So, I assume they feel like they have options, but those options to like you and me, I don't think are 100% clear right now.
David Beauclair from SI.com, also at Beauclair Sports on Twitter, joining us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And David, obviously yesterday, Jayon Brown back into the fold, a one-year $5.25 million deal. And Joe and I have been talking about, you know, the big three in free agency for the last couple of months with Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith and Jayon Brown. And I guess we always felt like Jayon Brown probably the least likely of those three to come back. And the fact that he's back on a $5.25 million contract, I was just blown away that the number was that low. How important is this for the Titans to get him back in the fold, at least for another year?
Yeah, I think it's a really big win for the Titans. I think you look at the way the guy has grown throughout his career. It's a big risk from Jayon Brown's perspective. You know, this is a guy who's had injuries late each of the last 2 years, and he's sort of gambling that the market will be better next year one way or another. But he's got to get through a season healthy. I mean, the good news is he's grown into the player that is an every down linebacker over the last 2 years. But the bad news is over those 2 years, he hasn't held up. He had the shoulder injury that caused him to miss a game late in 2019. And then two of the three playoff games, he wasn't able to go. And then of course the elbow injury last year. So, He's got to become a little more durable, but in terms of how he works with Rashawn Evans, the speed that he gives to that linebacker group, combined with the speed that Bud Dupree, for example, is adding to that group, I think without question this is going to be the fastest starting set of linebackers we have seen from this team in a long, long time now, and I think that's probably a critical element in the minds of Mike Vrabel and Shane Bowen.
So this receiver room right now, David, is AJ Brown and Cam Batson, and there's great receivers in the draft. I mean, I think we all expect that to be taken advantage of by the Titans, but what are you seeing out there now? Obviously, it's a soft market for the receivers. I mean, Kenny Galladay, yeah, I think, thought he was going to have a much bigger deal signed by now, and he's still out there. What of the remaining options? I liked Curtis Samuel a lot, and he signs with Washington Football Team yesterday. But of the remaining options, who do you like, and what do you think they should do?
Yeah, that's a good question, Joe. I have to admit, I haven't looked at the list lately to see exactly who's still out there, but. You know, Marvin Jones is a name that's been bandied about. Is he still available?
Yeah, he went to Jacksonville to go with Urban Meyer's wonderful strength program.
Yes.
But let me ask you specifically, what do you think of Juju?
Golden Tate's a guy who's kicking around, right? That'd be fun for the local folks here. I think Chris Conley, a guy with the Jaguars, is a guy who is has done some things. He's done some things against the Titans. I would think the Titans have a better impression of him maybe than some other teams do, just because he's beat them up a little bit. It seems like, there's going to be there's going to be somebody in this group here that they get on the cheap and are going to, you know, going to try and expect something from. But they've got, you know, this is 2 years in a row that there's loads of wide receivers in the draft. The Titans chose not to pick one last year. They're going to have to pick one this year. You know, it might not be until the third round, maybe, but they absolutely have to get one of those guys this year.
What do you think of Juju Smith-Schuster? Do you think he's a good two in this league? Someone that would fit here?
He's a good two, but you know, the one thing, and this sounds absurd to say, but it came up so much over the last couple of years that I think you have to think about it. Is Juju Smith-Schuster going to be anywhere near the type of blocker that Corey Davis has been in the run game? Smith-Schuster is an interesting guy in terms of running those shallow crosses and can turn some short throws into long gains and there's value in that. But he doesn't strike me. I have to say I haven't watched him a ton, but he doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to get physical against a linebacker or a safety in there. You know, when Derrick Henry's running the ball 25 times a game, and I think that actually has to be part of the consideration for the Titans in what they're doing in that position too, because you heard it over and over and over again from coaches and players on this team how valuable that Corey Davis was in that role for this team.
David, last thing for you here. We've talked a lot so far on the show today about some comments made yesterday by Wesley Woodyard regarding Mike Vrabel and maybe some friction with Dean Pees at the end of his tenure here in Nashville and Vrabel needing to back off a little bit from the defensive point of view. As you look at Mike Vrabel, if you're a Titans fan, how concerned should you be about maybe some stubbornness involved there? I know a lot of Titans fans upset with going in-house with Shane Bowen after the way the defense was last year. How concerned should you be about Vrabel's, I guess, stubbornness or demeanor if you're a Titans fan at this point?
Yeah, well, I'll say this, you know, Wesley Woodyard's comment certainly explained the whole Dean Pease situation where, you know, Dean retires and then halfway through last season says, you know, maybe I want to coach again, which, you know, clearly he was just letting the world know, hey, I'm ready. I think it was just a situation where, you know, it sounds like he told Mike Vrabel, look, if you and I are going to be friends, we can't work together anymore. You know, Mike Vrabel is, you know, we've all seen that from him and we've all experienced it from him. He wants to run things the way he wants to run them. And, I think he kind of overstepped his bounds a little bit when he first arrived on the scene and had to sort of retreat a little bit. But now that he's got some pelts on the wall, has been to the playoffs 2 years, has won a division title, has gotten as far as the AFC championship game, I think he feels like, you know, he's got a little more power and a little more ability to sort of dictate to everybody in this organization. And that's, you know, that's a good thing. That's a bad thing. It depends on how he does it. You know, certainly some of the best coaches in the world are not guys that most people want to hang out and have beers with. It's, you know, they're not wired that way. So, I mean, this is going to be a critical season for him in terms of his overall tenure here, because yes, the Titans got better. They won 11 games. They won the division last year, but in a couple ways, they took steps back too. So there's sort of this tug of war within this organization now. Is it moving forward? Is it going backward? And I think this year is going to really, it's going to be pretty telling in that regard.
David Beauclair from SI.com, also at Beauclair Sports on Twitter, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. David, great to have you on the show, man. Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Thanks for having me, boys. We'll talk to you later.
Absolutely. One of the best in the business, David Beauclair, has covered the Titans since day one when they've been around here. We'll react to a little bit of what David had to say there and get a little bit deeper into the right tackle position as well coming up. Now that we're one day removed, what do we make of this Dennis Kelly decision? Did the Titans make the wrong choice letting him get away from this team? We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game is kicking off every weekend with free beer.
Free beer.
That was not as not as passionate.
Free beer!
There we go. And who doesn't love free beer? Make sure you're tuning in all day on Friday for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. We'll have a trivia question for you tomorrow at 9:45 that Ryan Porth has already prepared. So preparation is key. Ryan Porth's like the Peyton Manning of this show, just always prepared, always ready to go.
I've got the trivia question ready. I've got my weekend winners ready, called shots.
Yeah. Really? You got all that ready?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Impressive.
I've got nothing. My call shots usually happen at 7:42, 7:45 segment. But hey, doing okay on those lately.
Well, if Porth is running away with stuff, then maybe that's a sign that we need to be better prepared. Right now he's not, but
well, I mean, he's
I'm
also,
just saying if he does.
Yeah, like I'm just on the called shot part of things, when you've got 35 of them.
That's true. You need
generally
to.
Hit on a few.
You also need to prepare,
for
a little bit more ahead of time than just 7:42 if you're going to come up with 35 called shots.
I don't know. I could come up with a lot right off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But we couldn't all
do that.
You're
a quicker thinker than I am.
I don't know about that.
But we couldn't all do that, or we wouldn't get through the segment if we had as many shots as you have.
That's true. We'd need about two segments. It's okay.
It's true.
We'll let you be the shot glutton.
The shot glutton. Very nicely done.
Hey, I'm going back to my college days again.
This has been a good week for that for you. On the program.
Shot glutton and Joe's bud.
Joe's bud. That's absolutely right. Hopefully we'll hear from Heidi a little bit later in the show. We're talking Titans here on the program. Taking your thoughts on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We talked to David Beauclair in the last segment and brought up an interesting point about right tackle. And look, now that he says that, I mean, it makes sense. You draft Isaiah Wilson, you've signed Dennis Kelly to an extension, but especially based on the way like this offseason was going to be and how much restructuring and cuts you were going to have to make, if Isaiah Wilson was still here and he worked out the way the Titans wanted him to, I don't think there's any way Dennis Kelly would be here this year. I did not expect, now that Isaiah Wilson is gone, for Dennis Kelly to be cut. What do you think of what Beauclair threw out there that – you know, he was injured all the last year, not finding a way to practice. He found a way to play and get on the field, but maybe the Titans are hoping for somebody at right tackle to be a little younger, perhaps a little bit more sturdy there, to get through a 16-game schedule. And also threw out the idea of maybe Quisenberry moving over from left tackle to right tackle, and maybe that being a guy that the Titans take a look at as a potential starter. What do you think of those two theories thrown out there by David Beauclair?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a good thought on Quisenberry. He, again, pretty amazing to me that you could go to your three and after Tyson Brilon went down and get what the Titans got out of him. And obviously he's an interesting case because he had cancer early in his career, so that knocked out really a couple years. So in terms of, I mean, he's 30. But in terms of wear and tear, he's not 30. You know, I mean, he hasn't had that kind of wear and tear. And I think Beauclair was right also on the concerns about Kelly's health. And he's right. He barely practiced last year. Now, he wasn't the only one. There are a lot of guys there. I mean, Saffold was missing practice and playing in games. Simmons was missing a lot of practice. You know, a lot of guys, as you get late in the year, that happens. But Kelly was a lot of the year, and knee stuff is not comforting.
No,
when you have a player that age. So I understand all that. I just, you know, it's just the signing of Lamb. It's just, to me, it's like you're swapping in a starter who, as far as we know, isn't as good and is barely cheaper, you know. So
yeah.
To me, it's like roll one more year with Kelly, and you know that offensive line functions well together, even if he may not be, you know, a Pro Bowler over there. But they made the move. So I think that's a good thought on Quisenberry. He, who is under contract, by the way, next year he'll be a free agent in 2022. I am trying to figure out now. I believe Sombrilo was a one-year deal. So
yeah.
But, I mean,
you probably get him back
pretty
cheap.
You probably get him back cheap. I mean, it wouldn't necessarily be a bad idea. I mean, have as much depth as at any spots as you can. You have zero depth at receiver. You do have depth all of a sudden, an inside linebacker that we didn't expect him to have, and you don't even have a starting group at corner, so you got a lot of work to do, but that would be another move that I think would make sense. Yesterday, Firkser and Swaim talk to media, and of course those guys are in the fold now. Pruitt is out there, so maybe it's Ferks or Swaim and TBD at that position. Maybe they'll still sign Pruitt, and even if they do, I mean, to me, they still need to, you know, find that quote-unquote number one tight end.
Well, we talked a lot about Wesley Woodyard here on the show, and he had some comments about Dennis Kelly yesterday in his interview with Darren Donica Chase, and what a loss this is for the Titans. Here's what Wesley Woodyard had to say on Dennis Kelly.
You look on the offensive side with Dennis Kelly, to me, who has been that cornerstone of the offensive line side, not Taylor Lewan. It's been Dennis Kelly as far as his consistency, being able to play, being able to plug in and play left tackle, right tackle at a high level. So, you know, I think it's a lot of moves that are unsure that guys, like, nobody really knows what's going on.
So that was Wesley Woodyard yesterday on with Darren Dog and Chase. Now, I don't know if I buy that Dennis Kelly has been the cornerstone of the offensive line and not Taylor Lewan. I understand what Woodyard's talking about there. Lewan was hurt last year. But certainly a big loss with Dennis Kelly. Now, maybe Kendall Lamb comes in and the Titans' offensive line doesn't miss a beat. Maybe you do go with Questenberry and you still feel pretty good about the offensive line. But all the moves that have been made, and our poll question yesterday kind of reflected this from Titans fans as well, this is the one to me that by far makes the least amount of sense.
And this is the one that we probably won't really get the full understanding of until the draft.
Yeah.
I mean, are they going to use – it's a very good tackle draft, very good receiver draft. Are they going to there's no choice in receiver. The only choice is, like, how many on receiver. But are they going to use a prominent pick on a tackle again? Maybe they need to.
But I don't know, man.
I don't know, but, I mean, at this point, Kendall Lamb is – he's a career back. I mean, yeah. He looked good catching that touchdown pass against the Titans last year. But, again, much more known commodity, even banged up and all that in Dennis Kelly compared to Kendall Lamb. And, yeah, I think the Questenberry thing is a good thing to bring up. I mean, that may be part of the thinking here. But – they may still be looking at this like, you know what, got to get the guy for the future, and here's a draft loaded with him, and yeah, we have other needs, but got to do it. Now, we know, I thought maybe they'd be drafting an inside linebacker too because they have no depth there, but that's been taken care of at least. So yesterday knocked one of those out.
At Monsoon Monaghan on Periscope says, Dennis Kelly was a solid number two, and you didn't have to worry. He will be missed. I would agree with that, and as I said, you can watch us now on Periscope and on YouTube and on Twitch.
So, and you can comment.
Oh, yeah. You can comment on there as well.
How many places are you getting comments from now?
Got a lot of comments you got to keep up with. That's part of being multifaceted here on the program. That's what we do here.
I'm glad that you are competent enough to handle all that stuff. Here's a comment, by the way. I'll give you one from Twitter from Seth Lake on the Vrabel stuff. Quote, as a head coach or a leader in any business, you can't be afraid to surround yourself with people that are smarter than you and empower them to do their job. It allows you to focus on the whole picture and gives the team the greatest chance of succeeding. I guess the implication being that's not what Vrabel does.
Yeah.
Is it that Vrabel – I don't buy that Vrabel's like, I'm the smart guy and I make call the shots. I don't buy that. But did he overstep? Did he do something that ticked off Dean Pease? Maybe he did.
When we come back, we will switch gears and get into the Nashville Predators. A big win the other day against the Tampa Bay Lightning, taking on the Florida Panthers tonight. Todd Richards, Predators assistant coach, will join us, and we'll talk about that with him coming up next. But right now, I've got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook, and there's always that one team that ruins your bracket this time of year, and that's why this year I'm betting the tournament on FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook, because on FanDuel, your first bet is risk-free, and it doesn't matter if you're betting on maybe Tennessee or Oregon State. New users get up to $1,000 in site credit back if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel's got odds on all the action with games day and night. It's an easy-to-use app, multiple deposits, and fast withdrawals. Always on promotions, and your next chance to win with FanDuel is only minutes away. So if that's not enough, FanDuel wants to make you a millionaire. Yes, they're giving away $1 million to one lucky better. New and existing users get an additional shot at the payout every day you bet on the tourney. So if you want a shot at becoming a millionaire or even a thousandaire, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply for $1 million drawing. Risk-free offer for first online real money wager only. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Nashville Predators taking on the Florida Panthers tonight at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators assistant coach Todd Richards. Todd, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Good morning, guys. It's a beautiful sunny day down here right now.
I bet it is, Todd. I mean, this is a pretty long road trip you guys have been on at this point, and you know, it's long for a normal season, but when you have the protocols and everything else in place this year as well, I would imagine this has been a really long road trip for you guys. What's it been like for the team and for the staff so far on the road with this long of a trip?
Yeah, it does get long at times. The good thing is that, you know, that, you know, there's some bad things about it that you can't necessarily get outside, go to restaurants. You're kind of confined to the hotel. But the good thing about it is you're constantly around each other. As far as, you know, young guys and veteran guys getting together and kind of growing as a team, getting those bonds that you need as a group. And it's no different with the coaches or the staff. The one thing that's nice, you know, when you do, that makes it a little bit easier compared to how we traveled in the past, was you literally can get to a city now and you can unpack your bag because you're going to be here for a few days.
Yeah.
Where in the past there were times where you might have got in the night before and played a game and you're gone right after the game. You know, you aren't even there 24 hours. So there are some things that are disadvantaged, but there are some things that help us too.
So, Todd, there's been talk from some around the league to that point of, you know, hopefully when things get back to normal and we're trending in that direction and the schedule's back to being 82 games, that maybe you do things like this a little bit more often when you're on the road and play some doubleheaders or play, you know, twice in 4 nights in a city instead of, you know, going out west once and then going around and coming back home and coming out west again. What do you think of that idea? I know there's some, you know, scheduling challenges that come with that from the league's perspective, but do you like kind of the double dip set that you guys have been in all year this season on the road?
Well, it does make it easier, and I'll tell you what, from a coaching standpoint, it makes it a little bit easier too when you're playing somebody, you know, twice in a row. You know, I've talked to people in the past about, you know, playoff hockey, and they're like, "Oh, you got time to golf in the playoffs?" I'm like, "Time to golf in the playoffs? That's the best time to golf, because as a coach, you know, you're preparing for one team during the regular season. You play, you know, like you said, use the trip out west for example. You know, you play in Anaheim, you know, one night, and the next night you're playing the LA Kings. 2 nights later, you're playing the San Jose Sharks, and you know, you're preparing for each one of those teams. When you're playing a team back to back, you know, you prepare. It's not that you don't do anything for the second game, but it makes it easier. You know, your meetings aren't readjusting to a whole new team and you know, kind of reeducating the players about this is what they do compared to maybe what the LA Kings did. So from that standpoint, it makes it easier. Obviously, probably the grind on the body, and you would be eliminating some trips. But again, I grew up playing the 82 game season where you just were there for one night, and I coached it for a long time, so I see the advantages of kind of doing this back to back, but I am still a little bit old school as well.
Predators assistant coach Todd Richards on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Todd, a really impressive performance from your group the other day down in Tampa Bay, a 4-1 win, and given the circumstances, the quality of the opponent, and the injury situation that you guys are going through right now, I thought the most impressive win of the season from your group. What did you see from your vantage point that led to that, and how do you guys go about replicating that sort of effort today against the Panthers?
Well, that number one, that's a good point about replicating. That's the point we're trying to stress. And you know, we can even go back. I'm trying to think how this all went. This is what happens sometimes during the season when you get on a long road trip. You kind of forget where you forget what day it is. You forget where you're at.
That's right.
And where you've been. But no, you know, even the game, the 6-3 game against Tampa, you know, it wasn't as good as the second game. That I'm talking about the 6-3 game that we lost. But there were a lot of good things throughout that game as well. And then even the Carolina games, there were some good things. So we were trending the right way. And, you know, you want your guys to get rewarded for their efforts that they've been putting in. And the guys, you know, finally got rewarded for it. So were we perfect? No. And I think it's an imperfect game. You're never going to get that. You're playing against, you know, good teams, good opponents. They're well coached. So they're going to have their pushes through games, but you know the young guys have really been providing some good energy, and we've had new guys on the back end, we've had new guys up front. I think the veteran guys have provided some good leadership at times, you know, throughout where we've been able to, if things are coming off the rails a little bit, they've been able to kind of corral that and get that back in line. So we've been getting contributions from everyone, you know, our goaltender making some big saves, defenseman, and that's what you really have to do, you know, in situations like this and going up against teams that are very good. And we're going to see that again tonight with the Florida Panthers. So a lot of good things. I think we have been trending, so it gives you some reasons to be excited about the group and about we had a good practice yesterday, really good energy on the ice. There are certain things I think as a coach that you can feel, you know, walking into a locker room, you can feel when things aren't necessarily right. And then I think you can feel sometimes when the things are feeling right. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to translate into anything tonight, but I think as a coach, it gives you that good feeling that, again, trending in the right way.
Todd, you brought up some guys that are coming in on the back end, obviously due to the injury situation that you've been dealing with. And I want to ask you about two in Jeremy Davies and in Alex Carrier. What stood out to you about them and their game so far with some of these young players that you've seen on the back end?
Well, number one, they both fit in, you know, nicely. They both have stepped right in, and they haven't necessarily looked out of place. You know, they've had moments where, you know, whether it's experience or talent maybe just getting there, but they've both done a really good job. Davies, really smart puck moving guy, sees the ice very well, has no problem getting around the ice. He got exposed a couple times, but that's going to happen with young players and guys getting their first taste in the NHL. And you're playing against, you know, guys that are 30 years old, and you know, let's face it, Tampa Bay, they won the Stanley Cup last year, so they're a very good team. They know what it takes to win, and they're playing really good hockey right now. So they can make you look bad at times, but Davies fit right in, did a really good job, provide some good offense for us. You can see that there's some ability there. He's got some good deception, whether he's shooting or passing. So he's done a really good job coming in. And then Carrier, I would say much the same. Good energy, great skater, really competitive in the corners and the battles, things that you want to see. And again, for me, the things that get me excited, he seems to have an offensive instinct of opportunities when to use his speed and his energy to beat guys up the ice or to get up and join the rush. And, you know, he's competitive in his own zone, and you know, he got his first NHL goal the other day, which was great for him to see. But if you go back and you rewind it, you know, that's what we do as coaches. All we do is constantly rewind tape. And, you know, when you go back to see how that whole play started, you know, it started with him and finishing a check. And then, you know, what you're trying to teach guys in our game today is, you know, those first three steps getting either direction, whether you're working up the ice or working back the ice, are so important. And he does a good job of that. So, excited for both guys to be part of this organization.
Predators assistant coach Todd Richards has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Todd, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and good luck tonight against the Florida Panthers.
Thanks for having me, guys. My pleasure.
Absolutely. Todd Richards, the Predators taking on the Florida Panthers tonight at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And speaking of the Nashville Predators, make sure you're tuning in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll have that opportunity coming up for you here in about an hour, so make sure that you're tuned in for that. When we come back, it's time for a little NCAA tourney talk. We're going to preview the South region of the bracket with the tournament officially getting underway today. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the NCAA tournament and also streaming live, Periscope, Twitch, YouTube. Lots of participation this morning on the Periscope feed, lots of comments, YouTube as well. So looking forward to continuing to show off our beautiful faces here for the world to see.
Sorry I missed the Todd Richards conversation, by the way. I wasn't trying to duck Todd Richards.
I know.
I had a very important phone call related to the discussions we're having.
All righty.
So we can get into that a little bit later.
We'll get into that a little bit later. A little bit of tease there on your part. Joe, the NCAA tournament officially beginning today with some play-in games happening this evening. But right now, looking ahead to the South region in the NCAA tournament, we've looked at the West, we've looked at the East, now looking at the South. Number one seed Baylor in the South. The two seed in this division is Ohio State. And then the number three seed in this part of the region, I've just lost my bracket. Who is the three seed in this region?
Oh,
it's Arkansas,
gosh.
And I've got them going to the Final Four, by the
way.
Yeah. There's a tease there for you.
Get your Final Four team figured out.
Am I crazy for having Arkansas going to the Final Four?
I don't think you are. I really considered them. I think Baylor is probably, other than Michigan, probably the one seed that's most doubted. I think, man, I feel like, I know that, like, for all of us at The Athletic, we all had, like, Gonzaga, Illinois, at least in the Final Four. I think Baylor is one of those teams that, you know, they don't have star power. They don't have, like, a bunch of sure thing NBA guys. They've been really good. But teams like that also, I think, do well this time of year. They're old teams with veterans who have great chemistry. The weird thing about Arkansas, and the impressive thing, but also maybe the thing that might scare you away, I mean, this is a super transfer-loaded team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's transfers galore, and, you know, obviously they've done a really good job. Now, they have a freshman, Moses Moody, who might be a top-10 pick. He is an absolute player, and they've got a lot of talent, athleticism, shooting, love how they play. Ohio State is a legit option here, too, as the, as the three seed. As the two seed in that region. But, yeah, Eric Musselman, I mean, Nate Oates is sort of the toast of the SEC with what he's done. But, man, Eric Musselman's not too far behind. He's
great name.
Awfully good. Musselman? Yeah. Musselman.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah. Did really good things at Nevada, of course, before this. So, yeah, I don't hate that pick. I don't hate that pick for you. I tell you what I love is that Arkansas Colgate, and this is going to be 11:45 Friday on True TV. That game's going to be like 90.
Take the over
on that one.
So
I told you what to take the under on. Take the over on that one.
As confident in you as you are with UCLA and Michigan State going under, you are that much more confident with Arkansas and Colgate going over.
I can't imagine that game doesn't go that way. I think it's going to be a ton of fun.
So we've looked at the 5-12 matchups in all of these regions so far. But maybe the 5-12 matchup getting the most pub out there, or certainly, I guess, at least from most people I talk with, the most likely upset would be Winthrop as the 12 over Villanova. Now, Villanova dealing with some injury problems right now as well, and Winthrop, what are they, 24-1 on the season? So, obviously,
that's right.
Very good this season. Now, the quality of competition is what it is for Winthrop. But what do you think of the possibilities as you look at all the 5-12 matchups in this NCAA tournament? Is Winthrop the most likely upset when it comes to that matchup, which it feels like we see a 12 upset of 5 every single year in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, my only concern is just that everybody picks it.
Yes.
Yeah, so I remember, 16 years ago, Michigan State was a 5. Everybody picked Old Dominion to beat Michigan State, including me, because they were a really good team, but they'd struggled. They'd blown it in the Big Ten tournament. Michigan State goes to Final Four, handled Old Dominion. There's a lot of examples where everybody's sure something's going to happen. It doesn't. But Villanova lost Colin Gillespie. I'm counting on a lot of my scouting here. I must give a nod to Kyle Tucker. He scouted like every team in this tournament at The Athletic. So here's a great stat from him on Winthrop. They got this kid, Josh Corbin. He plays 14 minutes a game. He averages 13.2 three-pointers and 5.6 made three-pointers per 40 minutes. Now, that is ridiculous. That's a ridiculous number. Also, that's the type of team that gets the upset, the team that can bomb from three. They also have the leading triple-double dude in the nation, Chandler Vaudrin, 6'7", senior point guard.
So, why does he not play more than 14 minutes per game?
He must suck on defense.
He's making all those threes.
He must suck on defense.
He's got
right?
to, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's good. I got to think. But Josh Corbin.
The Mike Miller of Winthrop.
Mike Miller, great defensive player.
Well, he was a three-point specialist.
Yes.
Didn't get many minutes.
Miami Heat legend. He was not a great defensive player. I made that up. Anyway,
yeah.
Continue.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good – yeah. The shooting specialist, the Kyle Korver.
Jimmer Fredette.
If you will.
This is 2 days in a row we brought up Jimmer Fredette.
I haven't heard Jimmer Fredette's name in like 10 years.
Is it? It's not that long ago.
It feels like it.
Right?
Feels like it.
What year was Jimmer's magical year? Where is Jimmer?
I don't know.
Wasn't he a first-round
pick?
So
many questions about Jimmer.
He just kind of faded into oblivion?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't hang in the
He is a basketball player for the Shanghai Sharks of the Chinese Basketball Association.
Okay. Shanghai Sharks. That's a good name. The alliteration. I like it. Now, what year was he the senior?
2011, National Player of the Year.
God, you're right.
So it is 10 years.
That's depressing. My goodness.
He's out there bombing threes for the Shanghai Sharks.
Thought it was like 4 years ago. Yeah. Well, I'm glad we can keep talking about Jimmer.
Yes.
Anything else about the South?
Florida and Virginia Tech. How dangerous do you think Florida can be in this tournament? Because they've got the type of player in Trey Mann where if he gets hot, and I know they've got some deficiencies elsewhere, but if Trey Mann gets rolling, not very many people in the country are going to be able to guard that guy. He's a matchup nightmare, Trey Mann.
He is. He's, 28 points in the second half against a really good Tennessee defense. I mean, if not for him, Florida was scored like 10 points
right.
in the second half. But, yeah, he's special. Now, they should be shorthanded because Omar Payne should be suspended by the SEC for this game. But apparently,
do we think that's going to happen?
Doesn't look like it.
Doesn't look like it. This is just infuriating.
Someone brought up a great point on Twitter. And, again, I just like normal, I forget who it was. So, sorry. I'm not crediting you. I'll say I did it. You know,
okay.
To sound smart, but you know, it might have been Cecil Hurt in Alabama. You know, you've got the college sports. You've got a thing like Omar Payne who just obliterates a guy's face with a dirty elbow. And again, good for him for being, remorseful after and all the way it was all handled after by both sides. But the bottom line is. That gets nothing, but then in football, and I know you and I disagree on targeting sometimes, but you can get a sort of an inadvertent, hit to a guy's helmet, and you're going to miss a whole game
right.
for that. Think about
There's
that.
There's not much consistency there.
Yeah, and obviously football is a different deal, just trying to make the sport safer and all that stuff, but you got to suspend a guy for a game, for that play, because – you're also trying to deter dirty play. That's how you do it, by punishing people who make dirty plays. So Greg Sankey was here this week and kind of took a bow at center court after the game. Good for him. They got the SEC tournament in. It was a success. It's great to see sports going on in the NCAA tournament. I think they did a heck of a job all year to get these games in and everything. So now be a leader and suspend Omar Payne a game.
But if it hasn't happened yet, there's no reason for me to believe it's going to happen at this point.
I agree with you.
Unbelievable.
And again, the argument against it, I think, from a lot of just general SEC fans would be like, well, hey, teams advance. I mean, this is big for your conference. Why would you want to shorthand one of your teams going into this tournament? And I get it, but you know what? Again, are you holding people accountable or not? And you're making another one of your member institutions angry, and they are missing someone. And by the way, I don't expect Fulkerson to play.
Yeah.
I don't expect Fulkerson to play this weekend. They're not going to say anything. They're going to say day-to-day, and he's not going to play tomorrow. I guess maybe. Could he play Sunday if they win? But I wouldn't expect it. So that's a big loss.
Yeah.
And two wrongs don't make a right. That's not what this is. This is what you should be doing when someone makes a play like that.
I agree. Agree 100%. The 8-9 matchup in the South region, two teams that you're not used to seeing be as low seeds as they are, which is North Carolina as the 8 seed, Wisconsin as the 9 seed. That's a very intriguing first-round matchup. How dangerous can North Carolina be in this tournament?
I think they can be pretty dangerous, and I just like them in this matchup. I just don't like Wisconsin that much this year. They haven't played all that well, really, for a while. There's an example of an old team, veteran team, that sometimes you can win in this tournament with those teams. I just don't think they have enough talent. North Carolina has good talent. They've been erratic, but I think they're playing better, and I think they could be dangerous. I think they could be dangerous to Baylor in the second round.
So I've got Arkansas coming out of this region, the South region in the bracket. Have you given thought to who you've got coming? I know you're taking this very meticulously.
Well, we had to pick our Final Four, and I did go with – I went with Baylor. I went with the old veteran – you know, they're not dominant defensively like they were last year. Kind of their defensive numbers have kind of fallen off quite a bit, but their offensive numbers have gotten better. Regardless, I think they've got everything you need. They got great guard play, depth, and so I'm going with the Bears. But I feel probably as shaky on that one. It's same with Alabama, Michigan. Everybody's off Michigan now. I'm not convinced Michigan isn't going to get out of their region, but I feel shakier about that than I do about Gonzaga and Illinois.
When we come back, we will get back into the Tennessee Titans and introduce our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from Wholesale Lake Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better, and that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No